If you've got your Bible, you can turn with me over to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. I'd like to read just a little bit from the book of Hebrews, talk to you a little bit tonight, and encourage your faith in the Lord. This is a powerful, powerful scripture. All of the scriptures are powerful, but this is exceedingly powerful if we can understand what Paul is trying to tell us. Beginning at the first verse, the 11th chapter, the book of Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of the child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, more of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, there is so much scripture here in this alone that it would take a fellow all night long just to kind of touch the edges of it. But it is so wonderful when you think about the opportunity of a human being that is a Christian. It is so wonderful when you think about the opportunity of the church. When you consider the opportunity of the church, it is so wonderful to know that we have an opportunity that the world doesn't have. And that is to see God supernaturally work in our lives and supernaturally do things that others cannot be partakers of except through our faith. So then it is wonderful to know that we are children of faith, and that by being children of faith, that we have access to the power of God, all power in heaven and in earth. Tonight, having all power in heaven and in earth by faith, then it makes us great and mighty people of God. To be a son of God is something so wonderful and so outstanding that the world will never be able to grasp or get a hold of it. Such a wonderful thing. Paul the apostle, who had suffered, been thrown into prison, had went through many heartaches, hardships for the sake of Jesus. This man came to a place to where he realized the power of faith. Because of his great faith, the Bible tells us that on one occasion he was caught up into the third heaven. Faith translated Paul momentarily, caught him up into the third heaven, just as it did Jesus when he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there, as a man standing there, was translated before all of the people, that is, that was down in the valley, and before those that he had secretly took up there to behold his glory at this great translation. There, being translated by faith, and Moses in such a great way, standing on the mountain, and the mountain burning with fire, saw the great glory of God because of the act of faith. And all of these great things took place in their lives simply because they had a conviction in God and a conviction in the Word. And so it is today, the same Word is here, the same God is here, the same Spirit that never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that's here. Now then, the same God's here, the same Spirit's here, the same Word of God's here, the same opportunity is here. But where the problem is within the church. We haven't accepted God's Word as we ought to accept it. We haven't exercised ourselves in the Word of God the way that we ought to exercise ourselves. And we haven't believed on Christ the way that they did in the early church. You know what the trouble is? One of the major problems of today is we've got too much convenience. We don't put ourselves to the test enough. We don't sacrifice enough. We don't pray enough. We don't fast enough to put ourselves to the test and shape
our lives the way that they did in the early church. And because of that, the church is not enjoying the great privilege of faith and the great things that God has in store for them, but rather, like the prodigal, they're turning to the beggarly elements of the world, and they're filling their belly with the husk of the world. And instead of having the great things of heaven that God has promised to us, we're settling for a few beggarly elements out there in the world. But I'll tell you something, folks. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. There's things in this world that's very dear to me. My wife and my children. And there's things in this world that I hold very dear to me. But there is nothing in this world that I intend to let stand between me and the satisfaction of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ and in faith. In this world, I've had the privilege of seeing many, many wonderful things by faith. God has done so many wonderful things for me by faith and has given me the desires of my heart by faith. But I intend to seek greater things from God. If Jesus tarries, I intend to seek greater things from God than I have ever seen in my life. I intend to see it because if I have to stay before God day and night to see it, I intend to see it because He promised it to me. I thank God for His wonderful blessings. I thank God for His wonderful touch. I believe that God will make Chuck walk. I believe that with all my heart. I prayed for Chuck, and I believe God will make the man walk. I believe that I'll see him get up and walk around. Though the doctors say that it's impossible, I still believe that God is going to make the man get up and walk around. This is the wonderful things of God that thrills my heart. You say, Brother Pike, that can't be, but by faith it's going to be. By faith in God, it's going to be. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, now what if it doesn't happen? What do you mean, what if it doesn't happen? I said it will happen. The man will get up and walk around. What do you mean, what if it doesn't happen? Faith doesn't say, what if it doesn't happen? Faith says it will happen. See, all of the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Now, I just lost one of my congregation. I don't know whether he don't believe in divine healing or what, but he got up and walked out. That's nothing new. I always lose some in every revival. A good fisherman always loses some fish, and sometimes he'll throw them back even if he catches them. But I thank the Lord because I still believe in the power of God. I believe that God heals. And whether other people believe it or not, I still believe it. I believe that God heals. I believe that there is a real Holy Ghost that fills a man's life and fills a man's spirit, a real, genuine Holy Ghost, a walking, talking God that lives inside of a human being. I believe that. I believe that God is a spirit. And I believe that God lives in me. I believe He walks in me. I believe this very night that God, the God that made heaven and earth, that same God, I believe He's with me tonight. I believe He's inside of me tonight. And I believe that He had me to come here to Orlando. And I believe that He's got a special purpose in me being here tonight in Orlando. And I'm thankful tonight that God would turn me to Hebrews 11, that I might talk tonight on faith, because I love to talk about faith. Now then, the Bible said here that they endured as seeing Him who is invisible. A lot of times the church needs more perseverance. I think one of the things today, Brother Arthur, that the church needs is more perseverance. Now, I know they need more confidence in the ministry, and they need more faith in the Word, but they also need more perseverance. We need more perseverance. We faint too quick. We fall away too quick. Something can fall across our path. Something can get us upset. We get a little bit disturbed in the first news you know. When all of this begins to happen, then we begin to grow weary and fall away. Somebody begins to talk to us, get us a little discouraged, we fall away. We need more perseverance. We need the kind of a perseverance that Peter and James and Paul had. The kind of perseverance that will cause us to push on for God. It doesn't matter what anybody says to us. It doesn't matter what kind of thoughts enter our mind. But we still are ready and willing to push on for God. Doing something for God. All the time doing something for God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. We need to wake up in the spirit get down to business for God and call on the Lord Jesus. In the middle of the night, we need to be calling on God. In the middle of the morning, we need to be calling on God. In the middle of the day, we need to be calling on God. If you're not calling on God around the clock, something's wrong with you. The church needs to move in and call on God day and night. I don't know of anything more wonderful than to call on God day and night. And so then this is the way Paul was. Always praying in the Holy Ghost, building up my most holy faith, Paul said, by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I know a lot of people feel like that's speaking in tongues. I really believe this from the bottom of my heart. I believe that the Holy Ghost will cause a person to speak in tongues. I believe the Holy Ghost will cause a person to prophesy. I believe the Holy Ghost will cause a person to be able to have discernment. Cause a person to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I believe that. But I also believe that this move that's coming forth today among the charismatic order of the world, I believe that move is going to head up in the Tower of Babel, and it's going to be a great tongue thing. Everybody believing that the Holy Ghost has come to them because they speak in tongues. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, and all of them not living right, not getting rid of sin, not turning away from the evils of this world, but just having an experience, as they call it, of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They're going to bring about a confusion in the Tower of Babel when all of them come together speaking in tongues. Now, I've been in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting, and I've seen people get up, lipstick and powder and paint, everything else, dressed like the world, look like the world, act like the world, dance or speak in tongues or whatever, when God wasn't in 100,000 miles of them. Folks, let me tell you something. To have the Holy Ghost, you've got to be holy. You can't have the Holy Ghost without being holy. It doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues. It doesn't say that the Holy Ghost is a tongue. It says that He is the Holy Spirit. So then we must be holy. If we're to have the Holy Ghost, then we must be holy. The Bible teaches us that we're to be perfect. And it tells us right here concerning these great men of old that these men endured as seeing Him who is invisible. They kept looking forward to something that was to happen in our day that did not happen in their day. They believed God, but they never received the promises. Now, are we to continue on in our day and not receive the promises? For the promises unto us, Peter said. This is the day of receiving the promises. In that day, they did not receive the promises. But in our day, we are to receive the promises. God has so fixed it that this is the day of the promises. I know they say there's 32,000 promises in this Bible. All of them's ours. In that day, they couldn't receive the promises. But in this day, we can receive the promises. Paul tells us in the word here, he said, God having provided some better thing for us. I like that, don't you? Now, you take Elijah, Moses, Abraham had some wonderful things. Isn't that right? They had some wonderful things. What could be more wonderful than when Joshua made the sun to stand still? What could be more wonderful than when Moses divided the Red Sea? What could be more wonderful when the walls of Jericho fell and all the great things happened back there? What could be more wonderful than when Elijah shut up the heavens? But yet Paul tells us that God provided something better for us. Hallelujah. You say, what could be better than that? Jesus is better than that. Hallelujah. I've received the infilling of Christ. They did not receive the infilling of Christ, but I received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Having provided something better. You say, that's not what Paul was speaking of. Then you tell me what he was speaking of. There's nothing better than the Holy Ghost. I've received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. For God provided something better for me. That's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have the infilling of the Holy Ghost than to be able to control the heavens. I'd rather have the infilling of the Holy Ghost than to be able to divide the Red Sea. I'd rather have the infilling of the Holy Ghost than to do what they did in that day. Because He is the resurrection and the life. And we've got the Holy Ghost tonight. Having provided something better. He says here in the 40th verse, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I like that. Hallelujah. They without us could not be made perfect. Elijah, he could not be made perfect though he was translated. Enoch could not be made perfect though he was translated. But brethren, we have been made perfect. He who is invisible fills my entire being. I am swallowed up of the Holy Spirit. I am in the presence of God, and God's in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Hallelujah. All right. So then it's wonderful to have this great promise. Paul tells us in the 12th chapter, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. He tells us here that we are to run with patience the race that God has set before us. Let's lay aside the sin, lay aside the weight, because there is a great cloud of witnesses such as Moses, such as Elijah, such as Joshua, and the great people of old. There is a great cloud of witnesses that someday we will stand in their presence and stand in the midst of them. And that great cloud of witnesses will be standing there, and we will be compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses as we give testimony to Christ. With this great opportunity that we have, why is it that we do not exercise faith in God? Why is it we do not dare to believe God? Why is it we cannot step out on the promises of God and accept the fact that because God said it, it'll be just that way? Why is it that I can't take God as His word and believe what God said about it? If God said it so, then it's so. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the world thinks about it. The thing is, God said it. And this is what is important. I'm really enjoying this tonight. See, faith in God. Faith. I think like this. What if Jesus was here tonight? What would Jesus do? I don't know. Maybe he will get out here and maybe he would sit down right there and have a conversation and preach to you or tell you about the wonderful word of God. If Paul was here tonight, I don't know what he would do. Maybe he would just testify to you. Maybe he would get excited and run up and down the ramp. I don't know. But see, Paul isn't here tonight. Neither is Jesus here as a man tonight. But Brother Pike is here tonight. And that's what excites me. Because my opportunity to do what they did is here. Hallelujah. That excites me. Glory to God. I'm here tonight in Orlando, Florida. I'm here tonight under the tent. I'm here tonight with the privilege to tell about Jesus. And brother, it excites me. That might not excite you, but it excites me to know that this is the hour that I can testify of the glory of God and the things of Jesus Christ. This is the hour when I can stand up and say, God will do it in the name of Jesus. It's my opportunity to stand up. It's your opportunity to stand up. You know, we can back down, we can swallow down, we can crawfish out of it, as the world says. But then we can stand up for God and have faith and believe and see the thing come to pass. You have Jesus. Hallelujah. God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham said, I believe it. I believe it. About 75 years old. I believe it, he said. But it didn't happen. Come on now. Oh, Brother Abraham said it will happen just like he said. It will happen, but it didn't happen. And a year went by. And I'm sure that they must have laughed Abraham to scorn. And they probably said, Abraham, if you've got faith, if you've really got faith and God told you this, why did it happen? And did you know that the thing was prolonged so many years that Sarah, though she heard an angel of God testify that it would happen, yet she doubted and grew weary. See, is it a little wonder that you should grow weary when you have a promise from God? When she heard the angel of God himself speak, speak and say it would happen. But see, Abraham never grew weary. A day passed, a year passed, 2 years passed, 10 years passed. 10 years from then, folks, they must have really been mocking Abraham. You know, the way they mocked Noah. When Noah said, God said it's going to happen, I'm just going to keep on working. For about 120 years, just kept on working until things got right. Isn't that right? He believed God. And the Bible said his faith was imputed unto him for righteousness. Folks, I believe God tonight. I believe God tonight. Whatever God said, I believe it. Hallelujah. Whatever Christ said, I believe it. Whatever the Word says, I believe it. Every jot and every tittle of it. 10 years passed by and nothing didn't happen. And I'm sure that they mocked Abraham. But old brother Abraham just kept believing anyway. He never doubted. He just kept believing anyway. Another 15 years went by and Abraham kept believing anyway. And finally, when Sarah's womb was completely dead, there was no hope of it. There was no possible way for them to enjoy a little child in their life. Abraham was past the age and there they were. There was no hope. See, that's what God was waiting for. If Abraham and Sarah had come into this with their child, then the world would have said, well, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure. Maybe something did happen and maybe they did have a child. But see, God wanted to be sure that nobody could deny what he'd said about it. He wanted them to know that this was a promised son. Hallelujah. That's what we want tonight, is to be a promised son of God. If I can do this by the flesh, then it's not a promise. It's not faith. Hallelujah. If I can come to Orlando tonight and I can get a half a dozen churches to sponsor me, then I haven't done anything by faith. Billy Graham does it and the rest of them does it. But I choose to come to Orlando by faith. And if I come to Orlando by faith and I don't have anybody to stand with me, and then God gives me a meeting, it will be by faith. It will be the act of God. And I choose to do that. That's why that I don't bother with personal offerings. If God supplies my need, if God lifts me up, if God sends me somewhere, if God meets my needs, then it's by faith. I know that God is moved by faith. But if I have gimmicks and I sell everything from shoestrings to holy water, I don't know whether God done it or not. I don't have no proof of anything. But brethren, this is by faith. Have you understand what I'm saying? In my day, in this hour, I have an opportunity to stand by faith. I have an opportunity to try God. I have an opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Abraham stood faithful. And finally, when all hope was gone, when there was absolutely no possible human way for a child to be born in the world by means of Abraham and Sarah, then all of a sudden the angel said, coming back, reminding them, said, I said, I will return at the time appointed. Hallelujah. I believe God's promising God will return at the time appointed. He has a time for everything, and God will do it at the time that he said he will do it. So then when everything was hopeless, all of a sudden a little child was born into the world. Hallelujah. Sarah tried to take another route through her doubt. Abraham went along with it. But nevertheless, God brought it to pass. They had the promised son. I'll tell you, though it looks to the world like the promised son will never come out of the life of the church, it's been a long time since God promised the church a son. But he said someday a man child will be born. All down through the ages, they tried to kill the lineage of Christ that the man-child might not be born. All down through the lineages, everywhere, tried to do it when Cain killed Abel, to keep the lineage, cut out the lineage that the son was to come through, the man-child. All down through the years, they tried to do it coming on down when he was about to kill Isaac on the mountain. Coming on down, it was the same way. Always trying to kill the promised son. Even in the days of Jehoram, back there when he rose up and killed all of his brethren and wasn't anybody left but him. That was the only seed royal left. But God spared it. Spared it. And God continually watched over the lineage that there might be a seed royal until the time of the promise drew near. After that, he killed all the seed royal out, trying to get the throne, just one left, him only. Then there came the enemy and killed out all of his sons, and Ahaziah was the only one left, the seed royal, all killed out, just one son left. And then when his sons came along, Athaliah the mother came and killed out all of those children, trying to kill the seed royal. But the aunt, in that day, a little child's aunt, took the little child and hid it away, just an infant. And for a period of about 6 years, everything seemed just about to run out. But one tiny little babe, the seed royal, was still there. Coming on down, the devil tried his best to kill out the seed royal. And finally, when the seed royal came, when Jesus was born, Satan never stopped. He tried to drown him at sea while he was asleep. He tried to get him to jump off of a mountain and destroy himself, continually trying to stop him before he had opportunity to go to Calvary and pay the price for sin and to bring about the redemption of the many members of the church. But God spared it. And today, we are they that have been made perfect. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're the man child tonight. And though to the world, they can't see it. To the world, they don't understand it, because it's been so long. But brethren, a child is being born. Unto you a son is given, and there is something that's taking place here in this great place of Orlando tonight, city called Beautiful. God is doing something special, bringing people from little Bethlehem down to the city called Beautiful. I'm grateful that we're here at this particular time. You know, it's not too far away till Christmas. There's something that is very pictorial in us being here. You know, it's unusual for it to be cold in Florida. But something very unusual is taking place. And being here tonight, having an opportunity to come here and expound the word and tell you about faith, there's something great that's taking place. Abraham believed, and eventually the young son Isaac stood as the confirmation of the testimony of Abraham. Think what the people thought then. After all of those years, the people round and about that had mocked Abraham, found fault with Abraham, had to come and look at the promised son. And the people that's mocked the church, the people that's found fault with the church, though the ministry has preached, tried to encourage the church has been cast down, yet it is a true fact that finally something is fixing to happen. And think what the world is going to think when they see the promised son born. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me. I'm thankful tonight for just a few brief moments of exhortation to be able to talk with you. I love Jesus. I accept the challenge of faith tonight. I accept it. I don't accept it just to stand around and do nothing. I don't accept it expecting God just to do something without any labor, without any toil, without any perseverance, without any cross, without any hardship. But I accept the challenge of God tonight. It's like I told my wife the other day. I was speaking to Betty about the different things that had taken place and how careless different ones had been and how that they had failed to do the things that I asked them to do and the things that God had expecting of them. And I said, Betty, some people don't want to accept responsibility. They don't want to have any responsibility that demands their work, their attention,
I said, but I'm glad from the bottom of my heart. I'm glad for the responsibility of God. I'm so thankful tonight that I've accepted the responsibility of God. I gladly accept it. I wholeheartedly want the responsibility of Christ. I want it, Brother Roosevelt. I want the responsibility that God has given to the church. I want it tonight. I delight in it tonight. And though a lot of times it takes away my sleep at night, I love it. I praise Him for it. I thank God for the opportunity. A lot of times it causes me grief and heartaches and sorrows of things that I have to tolerate. But I'm still thankful. I praise God for it. It's wonderful to me. A lot of times I'm mocked, I'm scorned, I'm questioned. But I thank God for this great privilege. Hallelujah. I wouldn't trade it for the king's place tonight. I thank God for it. I love the challenge of faith. I love the challenge of faith. On numbers of occasions in my lifetime, I've given away every dime that I had. Been in a strange place, away in a strange place with nobody, no money, nothing, no helpers, no supporters. And take the last penny that I had when ice would be on the trees or on the ground. And give it all away. Not even have any heat in the house. Not leave one penny for heat in the house. Not leave one penny for food in a strange place with nobody to help. No job, no income, no meeting, no nothing. Give it all away and say, Betty, let's prove faith. Let's prove God. Let's show the world there's a Jesus. Let's prove to ourselves that we trust in that Christ. That the devil can't point his finger in your face and look at you and say, are you making believe? You don't really believe. I said, let's get rid of everything. And then turn to God and say, Jesus, here we are. We don't have nothing but faith in your word, Lord. And let's stand there like a soldier and watch God meet the needs. And I've done it so many multiplied times. And I've seen him, and God is my witness, my hand be raised to heaven. I've seen him immediately smile on me, meet the needs, and come by just as if to say, I'm thankful for your faith in me. I'm thankful. I appreciate your faith in me. I love you because you trust me. Isn't that wonderful? Come and talk to me just like a man. Stand there and converse with me just like a man. Hallelujah. You like that? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said, because God could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Swear by himself. Hallelujah. And so then, God is our example. Jesus praises us in a good word. He was thankful when he looked about and saw the people praising the Holy Spirit and growing in the Holy Spirit. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He comes by and lets us know that we're jewels in his crown, and that whatever we do in having faith, it pleases him well. It pleases him well. So then tonight, I accept the challenge of faith in the meeting in Orlando. We'll have to pray. We'll have to seek God. Now you might say, well, I accept it too, Brother Pike, and I hope it turns out good. I intend to do more than hope that it'll turn out good. That's not the way that faith works. Faith doesn't work by just hoping it will turn out good. There's the way. But I accept the challenge tonight, and I believe that God will bless us in this Orlando meeting, and I believe that something good, something rich, and something wonderful will come out of this Orlando meeting. I'm thankful for you tonight. I'm grateful that you're here. But I want you to put your faith to a test. As a matter of fact, if some of you follow me in the tent meetings, you're going to find out you're going to put your faith to a test. I think that Sister Beachy and Brother Atlee and some of them on this trip learned what real faith in God is. They had to put their faith to the test this time. And sure enough, God sent along the promised son right when they needed him most. While I was stranded on the road and didn't know what to do and was trusting God, Brother James Isaac, sent by God, happened to come many hundreds of miles. And there come the promised son by right at the right time and brought the thing on down to Orlando. So then God knows what to do and how to do it. If we have faith in God, it'll always work out right. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. You know, it was Roosevelt that really pulled things out of a mess. How many of you know that? When the whole world was in a mess, Roosevelt came on the scene and started the millennium of that day. He gave people work when they didn't have any work. Put them out. Let them work on the WPA. That's why we've got the parks and the gardens. That's what started all these parks and gardens. There wasn't any such thing as that back then. But he made it. Gave them all a job. Turned the world into a beautiful place to live. And I thought about that. Roosevelt tried to get his truck off the lot, but he just couldn't get it off. There had to be a time, you know. Tonight, here he is onto the tent with us, and something beautiful is taking place. I'm so grateful. It's such a thrill. It's such an excitement to me for us to be here in this meeting. All right, let's just close our eyes for just a few moments. My purpose in my heart tonight that I was going to exhort you a little bit, and maybe during this revival, maybe we'll be able to say something good to you. And maybe we'll be able to share a little present-day truth that might encourage you concerning the meeting here in Orlando and make you feel like that you are a part of something that will make you glad. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up.